Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we welcome Arthur Matthews to the studio. We're going to go to all sorts of places this morning. I was asked, are you in good form, Arthur?
I'm in quite good form.
Anytime I've
seen There's very few people here in RTE.
Yeah, there are. Yes, yes, yes.
You're here.
Thank God. We do show up, though. We do. Some of the radios moved to different
parts. Yes, I was just told that.
Why was the last time you were here? Was it a buzz of activity?
I can't remember. I think it was a John Murray show a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very quiet. It's very relaxing.
Is this now your happy place?
Yeah, I'm in my happy place. I like you.
It's a good start.
Actually, I have to say, I love impressionists. And
you do, for sure.
I really do love impressionists.
You've worked with quite a few of them.
Richard Cooper, I know Gary Cook, Steve Coogan. But like, I used to love one of my favourite things. Do you remember Bobby Davro?
I don't, actually.
Bobby Davro, he was kind of big in the early 80s, but he did a fantastic Alex Higgins impression.
Oh, go away. That would have been a good one.
Yeah. So I've tried to find it on YouTube, but I can't find it.
Some things are lost.
I love impressions.
And Dermot Morgan, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I was going around school saying, no, he's not just Father Ted. He's an amazing impressionist.
Exactly, yeah. So who did you like as impressionists?
It was Dermot Morgan, like, primarily.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
and there was
tapes
of Scraps Out. I thought it was kind of like... of the moment in the mid-90s, but it was already long gone at that stage. I think it's only
I sent in a few scripts to Dermot.
Did you?
For that,
Into Scrap Saturday?
Yeah, I used to have an office in Ringsend, and I remember going there and dropping in scripts through the door. I think he might have used one of them. His Jimmy McGee was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think the sketch I wrote was Jimmy McGee, but I don't think he used it.
Oh, was it Jimmy McGee? Because he was kind of filthy and he would just name all these players and eventually just get...
I can't remember. Yeah, it was just brilliant. But I'm a huge fan of someone who does a really good impression. So you're very good.
I can't remember even off the top of my head what his... He had a catchphrase for... He had a kind of an in for Jimmy McGee, didn't he? Will I tell you?
Yeah. That's good.
I remember.
Who's your favourite one to do?
Oh, geez, it changes from day to day. Well, because I've only started doing Keir Starmer, it becomes a favourite straight away once you unlock the locked nose.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll have to. Impressions have to do the British
Prime
Minister.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joe Biden's very low energy.
Very low energy.
Slurring his voice.
Yeah.
Where am I? There's no other way to do it, unfortunately. I feel me doing it.
I used to love Dana Carvey's Johnny Carson. Did you ever see Danny Carvey do that? Johnny Carson. It's brilliant. Anyway, so I'm going back.
Unfortunately, Jack Nicholson's Johnny Carson has lasted longer in The Shining.
Yes.
Come here. We went to places already we didn't expect to go. You are our visiting critic, Arthur Matthews. Thank you for this. It was hard to find something outside your comfort zone. What is your comfort zone, first of all?
That's a very good question. I do kind of jigsaws. That's very comforting.
Are you in prison?
Yeah, kind of in prison. But and I watch television and I listen to music a lot. I've got a man shed type of thing, that type of thing. We listen to a lot of music there.
Is that because you're not allowed to listen to your music in the house?
I'm not allowed.
Okay.
In the house.
How bad
I'm
is
not
the
allowed
music?
In the house.
How bad is the music? What's the music you listen to?
A lot of soul music, a bit of jazz, but everything. And like punk, some of my old punk record. I don't listen to a lot of that. I met this guy in London called Eddie Pillar, who's a soul DJ and a kind of king of the mods in London. I met him through Matt Berry because I work with Matt Berry.
Yeah, Toast of London.
Toast of London. And Eddie's amazing. And he does his own radio station called Totally Wired Radio. So I listen to shows on that. And he does a modcast every year in Mallorca, which I'm going to.
Are you? Well,
yeah,
do you interact
month.
With humans?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I will. Other people. I like other... I'm a people person.
Okay. I think you were kind of telling us, though, that you don't go out of the house too often.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I don't. I have in the past.
I don't like it.
I don't need to do that anymore.
I read somewhere that you're a huge is it Drogheda United fan?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you still go to the matches?
I do, yeah. I go about 10, 15 times a season.
15 times a season? That's pretty dedicated.
Yeah, but I live in Dublin, so I go to most of the Dublin games. But they lost last night. And you can watch all the games online. But they lost last night, which I watched. So they're now bottom of the league. So you're talking to me at particularly low time. Yeah, you got me a bad time.
There's no League of Ireland action this weekend, so it'll be grand.
No, but I'll be tuning into the Euros now for the next 2 weeks.
That's going to be good, isn't it?
Well, I watch all those games.
We'll be Scotland. We have to be Scotland fans. Is that the rule?
I don't think there is a rule. I think I'll back Albania, maybe.
Yeah, I can't believe Albania there. We're not.
Well, that's the sad case. That's true.
It is true. So we're getting an idea of your various comfort zones. So we sent you out to play pickleball.
Yeah.
Who did you go with to play pickleball?
I went with my twin sister.
Oh, you have a twin sister?
Yeah.
Okay, we're finding out things about you already. Yeah. And how did that go? Where did you do it?
We went to Loughlinstown.
Yeah.
I'd never been to Loughlinstown.
Is that the big Westwood thing, is it? Or there's lots of sport down there.
It's a huge leisure centre place.
Okay.
So we arrived and Howard and Patricia, who are two Venezuelan pickleball players.
Go away.
They put us through our pace. It's like tennis. Mm-hmm. But it's also like table tennis. Like the bats are like table tennis bats.
Yep.
And the ball is a kind of hollow ball.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more accurately called a sphere. Okay. So you can, it's like simple tennis. The net's quite low. So if you get over the net, you feel exhilaration and pride. And if it hits the net, it's, self-loathing, despair.
It's Drogheda United, bottom of the league.
It's Drogheda United, bottom of the league. But no, it's great players. Fun.
Four players.
It can be two or four. We played doubles with my sister. We played with Patricia and Howard.
Now, people are mad for this at the minute.
Yeah, it's really good. I think it might overtake real tennis within a few years.
Is it faster?
Not when I played it, no. You're supposed to go up to the net.
Yeah.
And just whack the ball back. That's it. There are rules.
It's a small wee court, isn't it, as well? So
I think it's more or less the same size as a tennis court, but the net is smaller and the bats are slightly different.
Is it really a loud and annoying sound?
Yeah. In fact, I read that in America. It's big in America.
Massive.
And people complain about the noise of it.
Suing each other like crazy.
Yeah.
Suing pickleball. Because it takes smaller spaces, I think, in America,
it's kind of growing. It's big in America.
Yeah. And it obviously goes into working class areas because when you need smaller spaces, that's the sport they tend to play.
Yeah.
Golf is the opposite. It might drown out the sound of the grunting, which has irritated people in tennis, though.
No, there's no grunting in this.
No grunting at all?
No, I've never come across a pickleball grunting.
Grunting has ruined tennis.
Yeah, it's destroyed, obviously. But as I say, pickleball is going to overtake tennis.
Okay.
So tennis, within a few years, will be gone.
This sounds like a good review of pickleball.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll maybe back. I may build a pickleball alley in my own house.
And Carlos Alcaraz will be the winner of the first Loughlinstown Open pickleball. It's Dunleary Rathdown Leisure Centre in Loughlinstown. That's where you play your pickleball.
Yeah.
And there are loads of courts all around the country. You can find them if you go to pickleballireland.org.
Yeah.
So it's happening here.
Yeah.
What else can you tell? How long is the game? Or how do you win? Anything else at all, Arthur?
You win by scoring more points than your opponent.
That's a come up for the books.
Yeah. I was concentrating getting the ball over the net. And Howard would position me in various places to receive a serve or to serve.
Very good.
And he was keeping track of the score and I wasn't at all, but I just hit the ball over the net. But I didn't even
did you win?
Yeah, but I think I was playing with I played with Patricia, then I played with Howard.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he wasn't trying that hard. He could have destroyed me and my sister. I mean, really, really gone to town on us. But he was very kind and he let us win.
I see. Will you ever play pickleball again?
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, no, I thoroughly encourage people to play pickleball. It was a great experience.
What are the kind of? Do you don't have to kit out or anything, do you?
Well, you can, yeah. You could wear a frogman's outfit if you want, or a suit of armour.
But it's brand new.
I didn't see any. There was nothing on the wall saying
whites.
There was none of that. No, okay. I think you have to wear special shoes. Not special shoes, but shoes that won't damage the court. That was the only directive I got.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Not to damage the court. What's the court?
I don't know. I don't understand. But right. If you probably hobnail boots, spiked runners, or whatever.
Leave your Snickers workwear at home.
Yeah. No, it's pretty loose arrangement. Like, you know. But I wasn't playing at a professional level.
No, it doesn't sound. But he's going to do it again. That's a good review. Come here to me. The other thing, which I found odd, that you don't do very often, apparently, is watch the news.
Yeah.
Specifically the news on television.
Yeah. No, I don't watch the news. I've seen it before. I've seen the news. I know what it is. You've seen it, I presume.
Yeah, no, I've seen it, yeah.
So I decided to watch...
RT News, 6-1?
Yeah, it was the 6-1 news. Cause
how long ago is it since you've watched it, do you think?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure if I've ever watched the whole thing from beginning to end. I might have done it like 1980, mid-80s. I don't know, I can't remember. But to sit down and watch the whole thing was a...
People generally, you know, they'll do 20 minutes, dip in and out, come back for the weather. It still gets an enormous audience, we should say.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's very slickly done.
And this week, so did you watch it?
I watched it on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, which was more election counting and...
Well, I presumed it would start off with the election count. It started off with the Aer Lingus strike.
Oh, right.
Which immediately thought, oh, God, because I booked a few flights.
Well, you're going to see that Mod Festival.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to Mallorca for the Modcast Festival, yeah, in July. So that might, you know, I thought, God, I hope that's not.
As someone who wrote the most fantastic, who was part of that amazing satire on news journalism, Brass Eye.
Oh, yeah.
What's your view of the news, the state of television news in 2024 after watching?
I hated the news.
You hated
it. I hated the news.
You still hate the news.
I hate the news.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, it's all bad news.
Oh, okay.
It's well done.
Yeah.
The you know, it's slickly produced. And that was nearly all women presenting it.
It is, yeah.
And the editor, producer is a woman. So I thought maybe this is a woman's only news channel and that maybe there was a men's news on RT1 or something.
RT News Now. But then the menu. That's the red button.
Probably what they've done is they've just got loads of women in because then maybe the news will be better.
I think softer edges, is that what you're thinking?
Something like that, yeah. I think the opposite has happened. I think the news is worse now with women presenting it. Do you think that?
Do you think it's their fault?
I don't know.
Women are to blame for climate change. That's Matthews'
fault. So yeah, no, but then we're on
all wars.
The elections then. I made a note of what was in it. Something about horses being turned into dog food or something.
Yeah, this was a Primetime Investigate special. It's actually made the Telegraph today.
Did it, yeah.
About horse meat, horses being badly treated, put down at the end of the food chain in Europe.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Ireland would produce a meat industry scandal?
Who would have thought? So that was, so that was depressing. It was something about water purity. Again, that was a big turn off.
I presume it wasn't good, was it? The water purity.
No, they weren't celebrating how pure Irish water was. It was literally a turn off, like a tap. what else was on it? It was just then there was
very
sports news
review.
That was bad.
That cheers everyone up. Isn't that what sport is designed in there to do, too?
Yeah. No, that was the only good news on Ireland had lost to Portugal. That was bad. But there was some athletics thing. Ireland were doing well in the athletics.
Yes, of course. We've had the best European athletics championships of all time.
Yeah, exactly. So that was
cheer.
The only bright piece of news.
Followed by the weather, which again, bad news.
Well, I see the whole thing was over. I thought it was over at 7 or near 7. I think it was over at 6:50.
Oh, yeah. What happens then? I couldn't tell you.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't wait to turn it off, to be honest.
So you did the entire 50 minutes. Fair play.
I did, yeah. Well, that was the brief. You know, I be bad.
I'm really sorry we put you through this.
if I volunteered to look at the news and then turned off halfway through because I couldn't stand it, that would have been unprofessional.
Pickleball, good.
Yeah. But then
the
maybe this was the weather after the news?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I didn't stay for the weather.
All right. Oh, that's what you missed. Okay. And then
I missed
by
the
Nationwide,
weather,
which
I
does
stuck,
cheer
I stuck with the rest of it. It was well, you know, can't fault the presentation or the professionalism of it.
Okay.
But it was just, it was a grim experience.
Very good. You just rescued the newsroom there. Okay, so that's a review. Pickleball, good.
Yeah, news, thumbs up, so Pickleball. Good. Thumbs down, the news.
Pickleballireland.org. Arthur Matthews is the unlikely poster man.
I'm the face of international pickleball.
We've done loads of your career. I mentioned at the start of the programme, so you're not getting another another run of it. What are you up to these days?
Well, I've written a book,
yes,
which I see you have on the in front of you.
About that, yeah. Did Father Ted make you comfortably off?
Mentally or
does it make you rich? Like Ricky, the office made Ricky Gervais a millionaire. Now you got to make it around the world. Well, but I often wondered about that. It's such a huge show that we endlessly talk about.
I might get, as I said, I might get my own pickleball court. No, I still get royalty checks from it.
That's like old television, isn't it?
It's legacy television, I think it's called now.
Would it keep you going? Like, I'm not going to ask you how much it is, but
not just Father. I tell you what I made money out of was Ikeno,
musical. Okay, yeah. But it hasn't been on stage in years.
No, I know, but at the time, because a lot of people went to see that. Did something for...
It'd be worth staging again, by the way.
Well, they did revive it a few years ago, which was a very good production.
Yeah.
But it was, I suppose it was of its time.
Did that make you more than anything else you've done?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question.
The accounts are not in the shed.
I don't have the actual figures in front of me. But I did it. We did it because I work with Matt Berry a bit.
Yeah. And that's quite recent, isn't it?
Yeah, within the last... Well, we did the show called Toast, which I think we did in 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. But like Matt's big in America and he does the show called What We Do in the Shadows. So he's like Disney Plus. So Disney Plus commissioned the script for us to write.
That's what you're doing now?
Well, we wrote the script.
Oh, it's okay. It's written.
And but then they... you know, they have a few quid, Disney Plus.
You get paid once, don't you? You don't get the royalties.
Yeah, but then they passed on the script. I mean, they paid us for doing it, then they passed on the script. So the script is still out there.
Oh,
and
right.
Matt thinks someone else might make it.
So you get paid. You might get paid by all the streamers and it'll never be made.
Yeah.
That could potentially happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, they commission scripts and make shows. And as Matt told me that they made something with Meryl Streep, I think, that they haven't even broadcast.
Wow.
You know?
That's how much money they have.
Yeah, they have a lot of money.
Multinationals, saving the world.
Lots of dollars.
Let's talk about the book, Walled In by Hate. I didn't have to read it, you see, because we're talking about some other stuff, but I read it. It's fascinating. It's an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
You kind of explain why you like the story in the prologue, don't you? Which is quite simple.
I do, yeah. Well, I read the book about O'Higgins about 30 years ago. It was originally written in the 40s. Was republished in the 80s. So Higgins was Minister for Home Affairs, Minister for Justice at the time of the Civil War. Very violent time. And he was asked to agree to the man, Roy O'Connor, who'd been best man at his wedding. So A year before. And then some deputies were shot outside the Dáil, and then Richard Mulcahy, I think he was Minister for Defence, suggested that they take some prisoners out who'd been captured in the four courts in June as a deterrent. So one of them was Roy O'Connor, who was suggested. So there was a cabinet meeting and O'Higgins had to agree to this. And then, like, he was in Leinster House, so the executions were the next morning. So he would have been aware of that. And then he had to go into the Dáil to defend the executions. And then his own father was shot then, and he was assassinated.
Just a few months later.
Yeah, his father was shot in March 1923, and O'Higgins himself was 35 when he was shot.
Yeah, even though he looks like an old fella.
I know, yeah, yeah, he did. And and the time of O'Connor's death, he was like 30, you know, Minister for Justice. When I think what I was doing when I was 30. You know, trying to evade any kind of responsibility. And O'Higgins was like
30 years of age, signing all these execution warrants.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think he didn't actually physically sign them. He just wanted the Civil War to end very quickly, so he became quite a proponent of that policy.
It worked.
Well, it did work. Yeah, I think it was short, sharp shock, as to say. But I think De Valera admitted, yeah, that if the Civil War still would have been going on in the 30s if they hadn't done that.
You seem to point out that it's amazing that Richard Mulcahy, he's kind of the chief proponent, isn't he, of all these executions. And yet we don't consider him as a hate figure. Hardly consider him at all, to be honest.
Yeah, he was pretty low key.
Yeah.
But they were tough people, you know, really tough people. Mm. And Cosgrave as well. Because Roy O'Connor and the other Republicans like Liam Lynch, Ernie O'Malley thought that they'd be easily scared out, which is a phrase he used. Like after Collins died, he thought they'd scare out the Free State. But they didn't. I mean, unluckily for them, a lot of the Free State hard men were Collins' old assassination squad. So, like, it was kind of Revenge of the Nerds in a way.
Yeah, okay.
But it was a very violent time, yeah.
The anti-treaty regulars actually kill far more pro-treaty people than the other way around.
Yeah, I saw that recently. Figure recently, yeah.
UCC research.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Whereas
in our
memories, it seems to have been... Is it because of the executions, do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
We attach heroics really to the guerrillas because of the War of Independence.
Absolutely.
Who are going around randomly shooting people. Whereas when you arrest people, they're in prison, you don't have a trial and you shoot them against the wall. It has more echoes of the British treatment.
Plus, I think
But
also we just prefer rebels in this country to, you know, pragmatists. It's like, you know, what you could call the Shane McGowan effect. It was like a state funeral when Shane died.
A state funeral / dance.
Yeah. But he...
lovely.
I mean, Shane, he's probably not a great role model for people, really, but it was like, you know, absolutely heroic. I mean, I don't dislike Shane at all, but I think he was a big Father Ted fan.
I'm amazed by the day of Kevin O'Higgins' murder, 1927.
Yeah.
Cross Avenue, Booterstown, very well-to-do place then as it is now.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable death, isn't it?
Well, he was going to Mass in a nearby church on Cross Avenue, where actually De Valera subsequently lived. But he'd usually have his bodyguard with him, but he sent his bodyguard off to buy cigarettes. So he's just walking towards the church and three anti-treaty IRA men just happened to be driving past. I think it seems to be a coincidence that they'd stolen a car. They were going down to Wicklow to a GAA match and they happened to have... They were well armed, so they saw Higgins. They thought, is that him? And then they drove on and thought, no, it couldn't have been him. And then they thought, oh no, I think it was. So they went back to see him again. And then it was him, so they just stopped the car and got out and shot him. Three of them shot him. They put 7 bullets into him, I think. And they were kind of Collins' squad, and Collins always said, make sure when you shoot someone that they're dead. But O'Higgins was still alive, so he was talking to them. And said, look, the killing has to stop. I know why you've done this, but I forgive you, but the killing has to stop. So they, of the three who shot him, I mean, they just got back into the car and drove off. But of the three who shot him, one was shot himself the following year. One never regretted shooting him. And the other, Bill Gannon, was really traumatised by it, especially the fact that O'Higgins had talked to him. So,
and we only know about what happened that day real from his confession to his son.
Yeah, years later he told his son what happened because no one was ever sent to prison for that.
No.
So it's just incredibly dramatic.
But he's brought back into his house, Kevin O'Higgins. He's been shot 7 times. He lives for much of the rest of the day.
Yes, he did. And lots of his friends and colleagues from the government went to see him.
They come in and out of the house. For a screenwriter, that's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It's incredible, yeah. It's really like hard to believe. And his private secretary was called Harry Kelly. And Harry Kelly's son was Henry Kelly from Game for Laugh, etc.
Going for gold.
And I remember him. He was an Irish Times columnist before all his TV career.
Mm-hmm.
But Una, Kevin's daughter, who was a remarkable woman, spent her whole life trying to wound the heels of the Civil War, and she founded the Glencree Reconciliation Centre. So she was a remarkable woman. So she's probably the hero of the story, really. And then that, as well as all the violence, he had Hazel Lavery, Lady Lavery, an obsession with her, and she seemed to be kind of obsessed with him as well. So that's kind of love triangle as well.
Yeah, I love the little bits that kind of when you read books like this, you get snapshots of things you've forgotten or didn't hadn't learned before. Republican women in the Dáil had a collective nickname, brilliant one.
Oh, what was
it's that? Pretty sexist. The Furies.
The Furies, that's right. Yeah, yeah. They're also known as the Women and Childers Party.
Women and Childers.
After Erskine Childers, who O'Higgins had a great dislike of.
You point out that as we're kind of looking back at history, we've sort of, you know, lionized the female members of the Dáil, obviously in the kind of feminist wave, but they're pretty violent.
I read Padraig Yates' book about the Civil War in Dublin, and Countess Markovitch, Constance Markovitch, was in charge of some Republican snipers in O'Connell Street or somewhere, and they were shooting at the Free Staters across the street in the windows. And she said, don't aim at them, aim at the window frames, because the splinters will go into their eyes and blind them.
Jeez. Wow.
So they were pretty tough, as I say, they were tough people.
They were as bad as the men in some ways.
Which brings us back to the female newsreaders.
Who are to blame for all wars. Do you like Kevin O'Higgins?
It's so difficult. I think he was incredibly brave. Walden by hate is a phrase he used about himself, because he was so hated and he probably knew he'd be killed.
It was remarkable.
He's just
so
different from me, like, you know, as a person. I think he was very brave. I think he did what he thought was right. I think that this country was in a state of anarchy, so the Free State government felt they had to really use drastic methods to sort it out.
And of course, they shouldn't.
I'd like to have met him. My grandfather was in the Dáil as a result of O'Higgins' assassination. Also Arthur Matthews. So there was a general election. He was elected as a result of the assassination. I wonder if he may have met O'Higgins. I don't know. But Collins and O'Higgins and all these people. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have met them.
It's a great book. Historians, they do a good job on stories like that, but when you've got a writer from other areas, I think it makes it much more
exciting and appealing. I mean, it's a very serious topic. I've tried to lighten it up.
No, it's fantastic. It's called Walled In by Hate, by the way, and it's by Arthur Matthews. We're going to have to take a break. 51551. We'll be back after these.
Email Oliver at rte.ie.
There's a message in here from Sinead Holland from Laois Local Studies that says, can you mention that Arthur Matthews is talking Port Laois Library on the 24th of July on this new book on Kevin O'Higgins? That's obviously the O'Higgins territory, Arthur, isn't it? Stradbally, was that the home?
Yeah.
Stradbally was home. Or Port Laois, as you're supposed to say. Port Laois. All Irish things. Now, I said at the start I'm going to mention sport. And since you're into football and all that, we might as well mention no Irish involvement in the Euros. So we're going to have to back Scotland and our fellow Celts, of course, who are in action tonight in the opening game against Germany. Germany, by the way, they were they looked like they were obviously going to crash out here because they got through by hosting without qualification.
Oh, yeah.
And losing to Austria and famously lost to Japan. But apparently they're back in action. It was written in the Guardian previews at the weekend.
Okay.
So they're one of the favourites now.
I think they're lacking top quality strikers.
Spoken like a true pundit.
Which I read that
somewhere. Yeah, that's a lot of puffballs on the team. Have you heard the unofficial Scottish anthem?
No.
Where is it called? Oh, he's Nathan Evans. He's a fellow who's gone viral on TikTok, and he's written this song, and he's kind of proponent. I'll play a bit of it here, right, to get us all va-va-voomed up. And there's a place I know, there's magic where the flowers grow, and beauty where the rivers flow, up over hills and country roads. Scotland is a place called home. It's terrible enough to make it, isn't it?
I'm not going
to
win it with that. I remember, Ali's Army in 1978.
Ali's Army?
Yeah, we're on the march to Ali's Army. We're all going to Argentina. Never. They didn't do very well.
They didn't win. But apparently there are more Scots in Munich than in any city outside of Edinburgh and Glasgow right now, because they are so excited, because they were expected to get through the group for the first time in the history of all their time trying. Americans are buying up more of the tickets than any other nationality, even more than the Germans. So that's to do with the spending power, because probably Joe Biden's boom or whatever. Other stuff happening this weekend. Well, England are going to play Serbia. That's the choice match that people are watching as well. That's 8 o'clock on Sunday. And no League of Ireland, as I said, in the GAA. Do you watch any of that at all, Arthur?
Not much, no.
Oh, you really frowned there during that one. Pick of the action, Cork, Tyrone. And this is the last of the round robin fixtures, the acres of matches that it'll take to knock out the four obvious teams. But anyway, Cork, Tyrone, that's on GAA Go, Saturday, 3 p.m. What else is them? Oh, RT Television on Sunday. It's actually matches on free to air. Dublin Mayo is the pick of it. And of course, Armagh Galway will be before that as well. It's all live on RT One Television. Monaghan Meath, by the way, is live on GAA Go. The US Open as well. Happily married Rory McIlroy is going to be there in the latest major. He's expected to do well. And there's rugby as well. URC semi-finals, Leinster versus Bulls, live somehow on RT Player, that is, on RT Television as well. The GA basically is RT One, the GA Ask Gaelic, and RT News Now. RT2 is showing the Euros, and RT Radio 1 has sport from 2 o'clock until 9. We have to take one more break before we go.
From the North, text studio, followed by your message to 80889.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Online car insurance that's driven to save you time and money.